Well, we're finishing a series today called Revolution. And over the last several weeks, we have looked at what does it mean to love because Christ loved us first, or to love God, and then today to talk about loving our enemies. Now, the series is loosely based off of the 1968 song by the Beatles called Revolution. It's a timeless song, and I think it reminds us today of the necessity for a revolution in the world. But the revolution looks different. While the song was written in response to the Vietnam War, it can stand as a testimony today of the desire for a revolution to take place, but this time it needs to be a revolution of love, and that's led by Christ. Well, as we talk about loving our neighbors, I was reminded of a story that's found in the book High Wind at Noon, written by Alan Knight Shermoose. The story is of a man named Peter Home, a famous engineer. At one time, Peter was the richest and the most famous engineer in the world. He had built bridges and buildings and railroads and overpasses. And unfortunately, his life, he fell apart, became a life of poverty, of sickness, and of failure. He returned to his little village with his wife and his little daughter. And as he moved into his home, he recognized that his neighbor had a dog. And this dog, unfortunately, had a reputation for being dangerous. And Peter Home at one point actually tried to have a conversation with his neighbor to tell him about his dog. And the neighbor just dismissed him. And he told him under no circumstances to mess with his dog. And he cursed him out with obscenities. Well, Peter Home arrived at his house one day to find the neighbor's dog wrapped around the throat of his little daughter. As he tore the dog off, he recognized that the damage had been done and that the dog's teeth had sunk so far into his daughter's throat that she had passed away. The town was so angry that they shunned the neighbor. The dog was put down by the local sheriff. And being that it was an agricultural town, the town people decided that they weren't going to sell any seed to the neighbor. In fact, their goal and their hope was that the neighbor would just starve to death. The town people would sneer and they would swear at the neighbor as they walked down the street. In fact, they assumed that Home himself would consider his own neighbor to be public enemy number one. But they were wrong. You see, Peter Home was not like that. In fact, one night while Peter laid in his bed staring at the ceiling, thinking about his neighbor and unable to sleep, he did something extraordinary. He went out to his shed and he grabbed his seed pouch and half of a bushel of barley seed. He took that seed and he climbed his neighbor's fence and went into his neighbor's yard, into the field. And he began to sow half a bushel of barley into his neighbor's field. What's incredible is that nobody knew that Peter Home had done this until it was time to harvest. It became apparently clear that while everybody looked at Peter's field, they recognized that there was a patch that was missing, about half a bushel worth. But when they looked at his neighbor's field was completely empty, except for a patch of field that had grown barley, about half of a bushel. The story ends with this lesson. Mercy requires that we sow good seed in our enemy's field, even if it means that part of our field will be bare. The greatest question that we need to answer today when regarding loving our enemies is, how can I love my enemies? I want to share this message with you by breaking this question down into five different points. Point number one, actually, I want to share with you right now. You love your enemies with mercy. Now, we need to be reminded of what is mercy. And mercy at its core is compassion or forgiveness shown by a person who has the right or the power to punish. Matthew 5:7, Jesus speaks specifically about mercy when he says that God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, some will say that just in the Peter Holmes story, that the neighbor deserved it, or that they would wait for justice. In this case, they were hoping that the man would just starve to death. But that's not the way that Jesus treated you. He instructs us to be merciful because he too would show us mercy. One day, mercy took on flesh, but we're going to get to that a little bit later. This is a great part for time for us to stop. And I want to turn your attention to our talk sheet. If you haven't had the opportunity, I encourage you to go to our website, www.trinitynazarene.org. And then you can download the talk sheet under the Trinity Anywhere tab. And when you do, you can go to our Started Out section. And under the Started Out section, it's just an opportunity for you to dialogue and to be able to talk about maybe some questions to get started, to go deeper into the message content. Now, if you are watching this with a group, you're going to press pause here and talk and dialogue. Maybe you're watching this by yourself or you're watching this with another person. You can still dialogue and talk as well. Maybe text somebody and see how they would respond to some of the questions that are being raised in the Started Out section of the talk sheet. If you want to continue in the message, just wait 5 seconds and the video will automatically go to the next section. Well, I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and Romans chapter 12. So it's here in Matthew chapter 5 that we find Jesus teaching in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we need to remember that the Sermon on the Mount was actually taught to the disciples, but for the benefit of everybody who had gathered to hear the lessons that he was sharing in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Matthew 5 is interesting. We're going to go all the way down to verse 43 and 44 as we start here. These are the words of Jesus. And he's speaking to, again, the disciples, but he's also allowing the religious leaders to overhear his conversation. He says, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." Now, like the scribe we talked about last week, we need to ask the question, who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus would define a neighbor as anybody that you would have the chance to run into. Actually, he would say your neighbor is humanity. It's loving those, anybody who was made in the image of God, which includes all of us. So I want you to notice that Jesus is not quoting the Old Testament law. He's actually quoting their law. He's quoting the law of the religious leaders. Loving your neighbor, he says, you've heard the law that says love your neighbor. That actually comes directly from Leviticus 19, verse 18. But hate your enemy is not anywhere in the Old Testament. Actually, it's not anywhere in Scripture. It was added by the Pharisees because they assumed that if the Old Testament law says to love your neighbors, then the opposite or the inverse of that is true, that you're supposed to hate your enemies. Now, for a Pharisee, or actually to any God-fearing Jew, an enemy was anybody who wasn't Jewish, especially those who were Gentiles. So Jesus here had to correct their stinking thinking. And I want you to hear this, I want you to know this, that just because you heard it said doesn't mean that Jesus said it. We hear a lot of things. In fact, Jesus is really saying here, you've heard it said, but I'm telling you, you've actually heard it wrong. And for us too, today, we need to realize that just because we've heard it said doesn't mean that Jesus said it. There are a lot of things that are attributed to Jesus that he never said. So for us, he gives us instructions to love and to pray. That's the number one thing he tells us that we need to do in Scripture, especially when we're called to love our enemies. He says you need to love them and you need to pray for them. In fact, that leads us to our second point of today. You love your enemies with prayer. In fact, Jesus knows a secret that he's about to reveal to us. Prayer for our enemy isn't for them, it's for you. See, Jesus knows this. Jesus knows that prayer for your enemy is done in the presence of God, who knows our heart. In fact, when we pray, we are interceding on behalf of that person with God. You see, the amazing thing is Jesus understands that you can't genuinely pray for your enemy and hate them at the same time. It's impossible. Prayer softens our heart. Prayer helps us to know that our enemies are real, and that we, when we pray for them, we are looking through the lens of prayer. And when we look through the lens of prayer, it changes the way that we see our enemy. So prayer shifts our vision from what they did to who they are in Christ. That's what prayer does. When we pray for our enemies and we look through the lens of prayer, we view our enemies differently, and it shifts our focus to realize that they too are a child of God, made in the image of God. I want you to realize that one day a man modeled this for us. Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. Well, this leads us to our third point. You love your enemies with stopping the cycle of evil. Now, like Jesus, Paul helps us here and gives us great language to understand how we're called to love our enemies and what does that look like. So this is where we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. Now, in Romans chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 14. In verse 14, it says, "Bless those who persecute you." I know, easier said than done. "Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them." So again, we have Paul reiterating the message of Jesus that the first thing that we do for our enemies is we pray for them. Now we skip down to verse 17. "Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scripture says, 'I will take revenge. I will pay them back,' says the Lord." When we go back and again, we revisit the story of Peter Holm, we realize that Peter Holm could have taken all of his frustration, all of his hurt, and even all of his anger out on his neighbor, because his little girl was no longer alive because this neighbor, the actions of the neighbor's dog. But instead, Peter Holm broke the cycle of evil. And instead of attacking his neighbor, which everybody would have justified, they would have said, "Yeah, absolutely, that's okay that he went after his neighbor." Because they would have felt the anger themselves that this dog had taken his little girl's life. But instead, he broke the cycle of repaying evil for evil. He loved his neighbor, and he served his neighbor well. In fact, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but it does show that what God calls us to. The world says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The world says to take revenge. The world says to hate your enemies, and that it's even just deserved when we hate our enemies because of what they've done for us. The world says to pay back evil with more evil. But again, that creates a cycle of evil. And again, remember that one day, a long time ago, the cycle of evil was broken once and for all. But like I've told you before, we're going to get to that in a little bit. But this does lead us to our fourth point. You love your enemies with service. So up to this point, we've talked about loving our enemies with mercy. We've talked about loving our enemies with prayer. And we talk about loving our enemies by breaking the cycle of evil, by stopping the cycle of evil. And now we're at the point where we love our enemies through service. When you continue through Romans chapter 12 and you go to verse 20, it says, instead. Now that word "instead" here in the scripture is there on purpose because it helps us to point back to verse 19, which says, don't take revenge. Instead, here we are in verse 20, if your enemies... Now, here's something that you may not have noticed up until this point, but enemies all throughout my message and even all throughout Scripture is not singular. It doesn't say enemy. It actually, the Scripture says, it says, if your enemies, it's plural. We have more than one enemy. And if our enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Here's the thing you need to realize. You don't get to pick and choose which enemies get your service or not. That's not an option. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Now, we like this part. We like the part of thinking that because we're serving our enemies, that we get to heap hot coals on their heads. But the truth is, that shouldn't be the motivation for serving your enemies. In fact, Jesus knows our heart, and he knows the intention of why we're loving and serving our enemies, and how we recognize their hunger and fed them, or recognize their thirst and gave them something to drink. Verse 21, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Many people ask, well, how do I conquer evil? Evil is maybe prevalent in our lives. How do I get over that hurdle? Well, one of the things that you can do is not allowing evil to conquer you is to love your enemies. Like prayer, serving your enemies isn't for your enemies' benefit, it's for yours. Now, this is the section that we move to called the Talk It Out section. It's going to be here that we dialogue and talk about the Scripture. And I have a feeling that there's a lot of really good conversation that's going to come out through dialoguing about the Scripture for today's message. So again, if you're watching this with the group, you're going to press pause. When you're ready, come back and press play, and the video will automatically go to the next section. Again, if you want to just continue watching the message, or maybe you're not watching this with anybody, you can just wait 5 seconds, and the video will automatically resume to the next section. Well, as we move to the application portion of our message, if you're counting at home, you probably have realized, well, wait a minute, he only gave us 4 points, but he said that there were 5. Now, I've done something quite different than I've done in my messages before. Point number 1 came in the introduction. We usually wait until the middle part in order to give all the points. Well, point number 5 is now going to come at the application. In fact, point number 5 tells us, you love your enemies with forgiveness. Again, I want to make sure I help us to understand it. None of this is easy. I get it that it's not easy, but it's also not an option. We love our enemies with forgiveness. A few weeks ago, I was reminded of a story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a prolific author and speaker, and she was a Holocaust survivor. She grew up in Holland, and because her and her sister Beatrice were housing Jews in Holland, they were sent to a concentration camp. Well, this particular story takes place in 1947, in the basement of a church in Munich. Now, she had come over from Holland in 1947 to this basement area in order to preach a message of forgiveness. Everyone after the service was leaving, she actually remembers how quiet it was. People had just simply picked up their coats and their scarves, placed them on their bodies, and walked out of the room. But there was one man who was in the back of the room who started to make his way against the crowd, and he was approaching Corrie Ten Boom. She recognized him right away. She didn't just recognize him as a man who had a coat draped over his arm and a hat in his hand. She recognized him as an SS troop leader of the same concentration camp that her and her sister were held at during the war. She remembered the piles of dresses being thrown on the floor of that concentration camp. She remembers walking naked past this guard in shame. And Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Beatrice were held at the place called Ravensbrück, where he was a guard. Her sister Beatrice ended up dying at Ravensbrück. Now this man held out his hand and he said, a fine message, Fraulein. How good is it to know that God casts our sin to the depths of the sea, which is one of the points that Corey had made in her message. Well, Corey had fumbled in her purse, avoiding eye contact, fearful that not only did she recognize him, but that he recognized her. "You mentioned Ravensbrook in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there. But since that time," he went on to say, "I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein." Again, a hand came out as she reports, "Will you forgive me?" A second for Corrie Ten Boom felt like hours. She said, "I knew what I needed to do, but I couldn't do it. Coldness had clutched my heart. The one who had been forgiven every day couldn't offer forgiveness. But I remembered, forgiveness is not an emotion. It's an act of will, a choice, and it's regardless of the temperature of the heart." She goes on to say, she cries out, "Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulders, raced down my arms, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, "with all of my heart." Corrie Ten Boom would say that she had never known God's love so intensely as she did in that moment. You see, loving our enemies is not an option. We love because he first loved. You love your enemies with mercy because Jesus shows us mercy. You love your enemies with prayer because Jesus prayed for you. You love your enemies with stopping the cycle of evil because Jesus broke the cycle of evil. And we love our enemies with service because Jesus served you while you were hostile towards him. You see, the one day that I had mentioned throughout my message is the day that Christ died on the cross. We were enemies of him in that moment, and he still showed us mercy. And he still prayed for us, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He broke the cycle of evil by dying on the cross. And in that moment, he served us as the Lamb of God. And the last part is, you love your enemies with forgiveness. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32 is a great place for us to be reminded of God's love. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." You say you want a revolution. Well, here is the plan. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your enemies. Romans 12:9 will be the last scripture that we read in this series, and I believe it's a great reminder. It tells us, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we're reminded that the stark contrast of your love has no boundaries. It even goes to our enemies. Lord, I pray that just as we have recognized the necessity for mercy, Lord, the necessity for prayer and to pray for our enemies, recognizing that when we pray for our enemies, it changes, it shifts the lens by which we even view those who have hurt us and persecuted us. Lord, that mercy is justified by the world, but it's not justified by your cross. Lord, I pray that we would end the cycle of repaying evil with evil, that we would come to a place of spiritual maturity, Lord, that we wouldn't rely on our own strength to love our enemies, but your love within us compels us to love those who are even hurtful and harmful towards us. Lord, it is your right to avenge. And we need to simply give it over to you. Lord, as we serve others, as we serve our enemies, when we recognize their hunger, when we recognize their thirst, or whatever it is that is ailing them, Lord, I pray that we would have the heart and compassion to serve them well in that moment. And then ultimately, Lord, to recognize that you told us in your word that our forgiveness is predicated on your forgiveness, or our forgiveness is predicated on how well that we forgive others. So Jesus, I pray that we take into consideration all these things, and that this series isn't just a series to spark controversy, but it's a series that helps us to really love well in your name. We talk about wanting a revolution in our country, but a Jesus revolution is a revolution of love, loving our neighbor, loving you, and loving our enemies. So Jesus, I come to you, and I pray this with my whole heart, that you would give us the courage, the opportunity, and the ability to love well, especially in the season that we find ourselves in now. Again, we pray this all in your name. Amen. Well, as we do each time we're together, we don't ever want to miss an opportunity to pronounce a blessing, a benediction over our time together. And so as you know it, I encourage you to say it with me. And maybe you just want to open up your hands and in a posture of receiving this blessing over your week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. And say it with me, you are sent.